Good morning. Welcome to worship at First Christian Church on this Sunday. It is Scout Sunday, if you haven't figured that out, because of the uniforms and the boys being in church. Please silence your cell phones and electronic devices so we can be in an attitude of reverence while Lonnie plays our prelude. Again, good morning. Welcome to First Christian Church. We have a few announcements in their bulletin. If you will look, there's a blue sheet that talks about our midweek Lenten worship services. They are at 6 o'clock in the evening, and then at 6:30 there's a soup supper in the fellowship hall. Last week it was a pretty good success. I saw lots of people there, and it went very well. So remember that on Wednesday evenings to come to the Lenten service. Also, if you will look on the back of that blue sheet, talks about prayer concerns. Today is a card shower for Ann Kloxheim. If you are not aware, Ann had a stroke this past week and is in the hospital. And I'm sure Pastor Cynthia will talk more about that during prayers. Also, look at this week's calendar of events. As normal, it's pretty full. Mondays, there's a pastor's class. Sunday, there's a pastor's class. Monday, the office is closed. We have a call deadline on Thursday. And look at all the way down through. There's all kinds of things. Pick out something to participate in. Also, as you can tell by the uniforms, that it is Scout Sunday. Normally, Scout Sunday is the Sunday that has the February 8th in it. So that would have been February 4th. However, the Scouts were busy doing some other things, so we decided to move it to the 11th. The 11th, the district decided, since their snow days in Klondike had been canceled in January, that they would have it on the 11th. And it's pretty hard to have Scouts here on Sunday morning when they've spent Friday night, Saturday night, and then be back down here early enough for. But anyhow, so we moved it to this week. And we're happy to have Scott Hawley as our speaker today. He's bringing a very nice message. And speaking of the Klondike Derby last weekend that the boys participated in, they got first place. Not only in the five events that took place, they got first in three of them and second in two of them. And not to brag, but we smoked them. So there was eight boys up there. Some of those are in church this morning. They won a dog sled race, which was about 600 meters long, pulling a dog sled, and it's not hooked to dogs, it's hooked to boys. And they covered that 600 meters in less than 3 minutes. And they beat the second place team by over 10 seconds. We're pretty proud of that. The troop works hard to be one of the best in town, and we're showing it on a regular basis that we are. You know, I hate to brag about them, but having been an alumni of Troop 13 a long time ago, and having been a leader with the troop since 1984, it's pretty hard not to brag about them. And we should be really, really proud of them, and we thank First Christian Church for being our sponsor. With that, I think that's all of the announcements. We will stand and greet one another and sing our opening hymn, then remain standing because we have a flag ceremony, and then a call to worship. So stand and greet one another. Thank you.
Color guard attention. Audience attention. Color guard forward march. Color guard, halt. Prepare to post the colors. Post the colors. Will you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Two. Will you please join me in the Scout Oath and Law? Scout sign. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, to obey the Scout Law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. A Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Two. Color guard reform ranks. About face. Color guard forward march. Color guard halt. Color guard at ease, audience at ease.
Would you please join me in the call to worship? And we should probably be standing. God calls us together to worship this morning. We give thanks for God's goodness. Let us pray. O God, your will is that all of your children should grow into the fullness of life. We lift to you the ministry of scouting. We offer you thanks for camping to teach us the world is our great home. For study and work to build character, for service to see our responsibility to those in need, for encouragement in genuine patriotism and vital faith. Bless the work of scouting in this place and around the world, that through its efforts, the young may learn about you. Increase in wisdom and in stature, and in favor with you and all people. Let us pray the prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now you may be seated. Our hymn of praise this morning is inspired by Micah 6:8, one of the scriptures that we will hear in the morning message. But rather than singing 661, which is marked in your bulletin, we will sing 659. What does the Lord require for praise? I'd invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing. Blake, that is an awesome t-shirt. Stand up here so everybody can see. He's wearing his Cub Scout t-shirt from the Lion Den. That's totally cool. In the bulletin this morning, we have lots of extra inserts. And one of them has a picture of Boy Scouts and Scout families in church, and it says, a Scout is reverent. That is one of the traits that Scouts are supposed to have, but that's kind of a big word, reverent. Does anybody know what reverent means? Do you know what it means to revere something? It means to respect. To honor. Specifically, it means to honor God. To revere God is to worship God. When we are in worship, we are being reverent. We have come here today to celebrate God's love and to give thanks for Jesus and our salvation in Christ. And we can be reverent throughout our entire lives. If we remember that God is with us, God wants to dwell in our hearts. That is a way for us to be reverent, to be respectful, and to honor God, to revere God. I thought since that was on the bulletin insert, that would be a good word for you all to learn. Can you say reverent?
Reverent.
Reverent. And now in your own way, can you say, what does reverent mean? I talked about it, but I don't know if you got it or not. What does reverent mean? Caleb? It means you're respectful, and specifically respectful of God. You honor God. You revere God. Thank you all for being here on Scout Sunday. It is exciting to have the Scouts with us to do a flag ceremony, and they're going to share in other parts of worship. And this morning, we're going to hear a Scout leader, a former Scout, a Scout dad give the message. It is a privilege for us to get to hear from Mr. Holly today. Will you all pray with me this morning? Oh God, we thank you for your call in our lives to be reverent, to revere you, oh God, to honor you, to remember you are holy, and you call us to be respectful, to respect you in all of life, to respect creation and respect and honor one another. Lord, we thank you for scouts and for all young people who strive to live reverent lives. In Christ's name, all God's children said, amen. And you can head to worship and wonder or Sunday school. Our prayer concerns today are listed on the blue insert in your bulletin. If you would take that out and follow along as we lift up some names of people and situations that we need to hold in prayer. Our card shower this morning is for Ann Klocksim. I encourage you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you. Whether you know Ann or not, you're encouraged to write her a note letting her know we're praying for her today. Ann suffered a massive stroke late Monday evening. She was on the phone with her friend Sheila when it happened, and thankfully Sheila recognized the change in Ann's speech as she began to slur her words, called 911, and she was taken swiftly to Wyoming Medical Center. Ann is still at the hospital. We are anticipating that sometime when she is strong enough, she will go to Elkhorn for extensive therapy to try to recover from the effects of the stroke. It has affected her speech, her strength on her left side. Currently, she is far from being able to walk or to move and use her left arm and her left hand. But the therapists at the hospital are working with her every day. And she is so thankful for your prayers and the support that this congregation is giving. Her daughter, Kathy, was able to come and be with her briefly this week, and she'll be back to visit again and to give support to Anne. So prayers for Ann Klocksim and all of her family. The beautiful fresh flowers on the communion table today are in memory of Darlene McIrvin. We had a service yesterday here in the congregation celebrating her life. We offer prayers of sympathy to Emma Crawford upon the death of her son in Texas. We continue to pray for Joan McNamara as she struggles with breathing, for Judy Baker's brother, Don Sen, who has had multiple surgeries and is struggling with health. We pray for the world in which we live, especially for those affected by the shooting this week, another school shooting in Florida. Prayers for Steve Huckfelt today, his nephew, Adam, who lives in Pennsylvania. After struggling with extreme grief and dealing with drug and alcohol addictions, Adam took his own life, and we pray for his family at the horrific loss and grief that this has left for them. Also prayers for Steve's uncle Ron, who is struggling with dementia and lives in Florida. Are there others today that we want to lift in prayer? Prayers for Teresa Dugan, who lost her aunt at the age of 92 after struggling with Alzheimer's. Kathy.
Well, I just want to say that Larry and I will be celebrating our 49th wedding anniversary on Thursday, and Brother Llewellyn married us here in the church.
We celebrate with the Winders 49 years of marriage and look forward perhaps to a party next year. Are there others today? Debbie. Another day of blessing at the Sandwich Ministry, which happens every Saturday, and the monthly blanket ministry. Thank you to all the hands that helped tide 19 blankets yesterday. Erica. Our youth are at Midwinter this morning, including Dylan and Kylie Stupak and Katie Jo McLeod, who went as a sponsor from here in Casper, especially with a winter storm coming in. They are currently at Camp Lawfrey outside of Colorado Springs. And retreat goes through tomorrow morning, correct? So they'll be driving home tomorrow after there's been snow, perhaps outside of Denver. So prayers of safe travels for all the youth of the region and for Shelley Garrison. She is our associate regional minister, directing youth in the Central Rocky Mountain region. And there's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you're encouraged to sign and send greetings to Shelley on behalf of the youth. Paul. Thank you, Paul, very much. It is a privilege to serve in ministry with this congregation, and it has been a challenging time for us as a church. Yesterday was the third funeral, essentially, in a row, and I do appreciate your prayers for God's presence with me as I represent you in hospital rooms and with grieving families. So thank you very much for your prayer, and Paul, for your kind words. Let us turn to the Lord in a time of shared silence as we pray together. O good and gracious God, we come before you with reverent hearts this day to give thanks for your presence in our lives and your love for the world. Even as we pray for forgiveness for our own sins and courage and strength in the face of our own shortcomings, Lord, we are made bold to pray for others we know of who are in need. Oh God, we pray for our dear friend Ann Clockseam, a sister in Christ, a pillar of this congregation. Lord, as she struggles with cancer, with the effects of a massive stroke, with health issues that are up and down each day, oh God, we pray for your strength and your healing to surround Ann. We pray for peace for her spirit, for courage in the work that she is doing during therapy sessions. And we pray, oh God, for your presence with her daughter Kathy, with all of her family and friends as they offer support to Anne in this trying time. Lord, we pray for those who grieve. We continue to pray for Stan McIrvin and Cindy and David as they miss Darlene. We pray for Steve and his family as they're reeling from the shock of Adams taking his own life. Oh God, we pray for all who contemplate suicide, for those for whom, whether because of addictions or grief or overwhelming struggles, they contemplate a final solution that is not a solution. Lord, we pray for all who are so overwhelmed that they would even think of ending life. God, we pray that you would surround them with listening ears, with supportive families and communities, help them to reach beyond themselves. Oh God, for Adam's soul, we pray your grace and your mercy, your peace. We pray also for Steve's Uncle Ron and for others who are struggling with dementia and declining health, and for those who love them, for caregivers, for those who are in need. We pray for Joan and Bob McNamara, for Don Sin. We thank you, God, for Shelley Garrison and the work she does planning such excellent activities for the youth of our region. God, this morning we pray for your blessing to be with Dylan and Kylie and Katie and all the youth who are participating in the Midwinter Retreat. We pray that this weekend's time of study and worship, of fellowship, will renew their spirits and draw them closer to you. And bless, Lord, with safe travels all who may be driving home soon through storms. Lord, we rejoice in the gift of marriage, in your blessing upon healthy and holy relationships. Lord, we thank you for Kathy and Larry having shared their wedding vows here in this sanctuary 49 years ago. But God, continue to bless them with joy and health, with an open and honest relationship, a shared partnership, that they may inspire others around them to be committed to the gift of marriage. Oh God, our minds and our hearts move in prayer beyond ourselves. We thank you for the work done yesterday of the sandwich ministry and 19 blankets made, which will be shared with people in our community. And Lord, we pray for the community of Parkland, Florida. We pray especially for the lives of 17 young people and teachers who went to school and did not come home. We pray, O God, for families that are torn apart by grief. We pray, Lord, for people in our society who are moved to commit acts of violence which we cannot even fathom. O God, we pray for systems and structures that would provide better safety in our communities and in our schools. O Lord, we confess to you that we are a sinful nation, for we have not figured out how to even talk with one another, let alone how to solve what should not happen. O Lord, we would pray to you that there would not be another single school shooting after nearly 20 having already happened this year. But we know, God, that for that to happen, it will take more than words of prayer. Help us know how to take action to end violence in our world, to provide safe spaces. Good and gracious God, you know the prayers that we bring to you even when we cannot form them into words. And so we thank you for your presence with us as we gather here in this sanctuary, this safe space, this holy place, where we might rest in your love. O Lord, comfort all who grieve, heal the sick, and make light the burden of those who are heavy-hearted. And use us, Lord, in specific ways to help answer our prayers. In Christ's name we turn to you. Amen. On Scout Sunday each year, I wear a special stole that is made from the old badge sashes I had when I was in Girl Scouts. And someplace, somewhere on here, there is a badge for campfire cooking. One of the things that Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts are good at is learning how to cook outdoors, whether it's on a backpacking stove, a foil dinner buried deep in coals, or perhaps roasting a marshmallow over a campfire. Whether you're a scout or not, if you live in Wyoming, chances are sometime you have prepared and enjoyed an outdoor meal. Maybe a potluck on branding day at the ranch. Maybe a backyard cookout. My guess is that everyone here, sometime or another, has tasted a s'more. If you've had a s'more, would you raise your hand? There are some places in this country that you would ask that question on a Sunday morning, and God bless those poor souls. No one could raise their hand. It's a little harder to make a s'more in the middle of New York City, but it's possible, and they should do it. Now, I have to name to you the fact that I have an absolute bias. There are basically two traditional ways of making a s'more. I'm not talking about all the alternatives. Instead of a plain milk chocolate Hershey bar, adding, oh, a Reese's peanut butter cup to your graham cracker. I'm talking about the two traditional methods of preparing your marshmallow. My dad taught me the right way. So now you already know my bias. It doesn't matter if you use a coat hanger or a young spring sapling that you've whittled the end off. Once you pierce your marshmallow, ideally you wait for the flames to die down. And you slowly hold that marshmallow over the glowing embers, the hot coals of the fire. And you wait for the outside to turn golden brown and begin to puff up. It takes patience. It takes a little technique. You have to keep rotating it so the outside cooks evenly. Well, there are two techniques. For those who are not patient, you can also just slap on that marshmallow, stick it in the flame, and blow it out. I've had people tell me that's how they like it. They like it burned, tasting like charcoal. Well, I obviously would beg to differ. But thank goodness we live in a free country, and you can have your marshmallow either way, and by the time you put it on a melted chocolate bar and your graham cracker, it's still a pretty good s'more. I won't ask for a show of hands for those who prefer the burn-it-fast method, and, well, anyway. So there are two ways of fixing s'mores, or more. There are also two ways of serving communion, or more, here at First Christian Church. During part of the year, we take communion by intinction, and part of the time, we pass trays. This morning, we'll be passing trays for communion. That means that when the tray is handed to you by a member of the diaconate, there'll be a small piece of bread for you to take and a little cup for you to drink, and then you have the privilege of turning and serving the person next to you. It really doesn't matter if we take communion by a tiny cup or by a piece of bread dipped in a chalice. The importance of the Lord's Supper is what it represents, what it becomes for people of faith. That bit of bread in any form, that bit of wine taken into our bodies, becomes for us the living presence of God's own Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And all who are gathered here today, whether you're a burn your marshmallow fast or a cook your s'more slowly kind of person, all who are gathered here today who long to know God's love in Jesus are invited to share in communion as the bread and the cup are passed. Let us prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper by singing together in this very room, number 295. in this very room, Jesus is present with us. As we come to the Lord, we remember the night when he met with his friends in the upper room. And while they were at table, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life and death, his resurrection and his mercy. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Let us pray. O God, your will is that all your children should grow into fullness of life. We lift to you the ministry of scouting. Bless the work of scouting in this place and around the world, that through its efforts, the young may, like our Lord, increase in wisdom and in stature and in favor with you and all people. Bless these elements, the bread and the cup, that we would be spiritually blessed and nourished to carry out your work. Amen.
Thank you. Imagine a seedling provided by your gifts to Week of Compassion, that with God's help can provide food, not just for a family, but an entire village, a village that can grow an economy, that provides opportunities that did not exist before, opportunities for thriving markets, for employments, for education, and even having a voice in government, opportunities that create a ripple of change, bringing hope to other villages, regions, and even entire countries. God can take our gifts to Week of Compassion and do more than we can ask or imagine.
You heard the scouts talk about the scout law. And one of the points of the scout law is a scout is thrifty. By being thrifty, we are taught self-respect, making us unwilling to be a burden on others. We also are taught to help others. And being thrifty, we can help others through our tithes and offerings at church today. So with that, we will call on the diaconate to collect our tithes and offerings. Patient Lord, when we place the insignificant wants in our lives above the necessities of others, teach us to recognize and understand the problems facing others and prepare us for each day's task to help them. We give you thanks for these tithes and offerings that we have given, because we know that they ultimately came to us from you, and we give them to help others. Amen.
King of glory, the King.
If you would join me while we read the scripture, you can find the first one. The first reading is Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. In the Pew Bible, it is in the Old Testament on page 866. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. The second scripture is Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, and Life Scout Curtis Ryman will read that.
Whatever your hand finds to do, do with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going.
And the last scripture today is from the New Testament, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 10. It's on the Pew Bible on page 191. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. So when Erica came to me and asked me if I would share the message today, my first thought obviously was panic. After that faded, I started to think of the story of the Good Samaritan. I've heard that parable compared to the teachings of Scoutings on several occasions, and it always resonated with me as a wonderful example of how we try to teach our young people in Scouting to behave and to live. I think it's an appropriate message. The story demonstrates helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, reverent, and brave. Yeah, it covers pretty much most of the words of the Scout Law quite nicely. Now, I realize not everybody here knows the Scout Law off the top of your head, but it's basically a list of character traits that we try to help our Scouts incorporate into who they are and who they are striving to be. A Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. It's a wonderful list, and frankly, one I wish more people would try to do their best to live by. It's one I hope our Scouts and my own sons use when they're weighing a big decision or facing a difficult challenge. One of my favorite teaching tools as a Scout leader, when a Scout is making a, let's say, less than fabulous choice, is to simply ask them, "So which of those 12 words are you trying to show me with that?" The simple question serves two purposes. First, usually works to stop the behavior they were doing in the first place. And second, it generally makes the boy consider, how did I get to this point? And more importantly, what might I have done differently to be more in line with the 12 points of the Scout Law? Yeah, the Scout Law is a great tool and a guideline for Scouts, for how our Scouts can strive to be the best humans that they can, to be the person that they think, that I think all of us in our hearts would truly like to be. But it's not the only lesson or guideline that we use to teach our boys. So today, rather than focus on the Scout Law, which I think we can all agree is a great guideline for helping you to set your moral compass, I want to look at the Scout Oath instead. The Scout Oath is a pledge that we start every meeting with, every campout, every activity. It's how our scouts reaffirm on their honor the standard of conduct which they will try to maintain, and it goes like this. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, to obey the Scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. It speaks to how a scout will strive to live his life, and it breaks down into three simple things the scout is committing to. Our three duties as scouts, and more importantly, as people. A scout has a duty to God. I mean, it's spelled out in pretty much exactly those words. A scout should try to live a godly life and be an example to all those he comes in contact with. God knows all that we do, and more importantly, the Father knows where our hearts are as we do it. A scout has a duty to others, whether it's serving our country in the military, serving our community as a good citizen, or simply being helpful to other people. It's a scout's obligation to try and serve others to the best of their ability. And a scout has a duty to self. The oath says physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. You should work to take care of yourself, body, mind, and soul. You see, lacking these things, you'll be unable to carry out the other charges of the oath well. As adults, it can at times seem difficult to walk this path. It seems so simple when you look at it as these three simple things that we ask our scouts to aspire to. When you look into your heart, only you can answer the question, do you aspire to live this way? Duty to God can take on so many forms. It could be ministerial, evangelical, or through outreach programs to help those less fortunate to us. These are all great examples to live a worthy life and to do our duty to God. But for new scouts, I try to put it in much simpler terms. The Micah passage begins with the question, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? What might we do in this life to please the Lord? This is a question we must all answer. How will we act to bring glory to God? Micah goes on to list some different options of earthly wealth, sacrificing a calf, 1,000 rams, rivers of oil, your firstborn child. Would these please the Lord? What might we offer up to him in order to find ourselves basking in the light of his love? Micah 6:8 continues with a simple answer to the greater question. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Sounds a lot like we're about to get a pretty good definition of what our duty to God should look like. I mean, the word duty signifies something that's required of us, right? The verse concludes with the answer, one that at first blush seems almost too simple, to act justly, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Wait, what? It's not wealth that we can bring to bear or the influence we possess that pleases the Lord? How much better would the world be if everyone would just adopt that simple passage as their definition of duty to God and then work to live as he's tasked us? To act justly, to be fair in your dealings with others and be honest in your intentions and actions. Make the choice to do right, even when it is difficult or unpopular. To love kindness. Let's face it, life comes at us pretty quickly and in unruly bunches. It's easy to get caught up in the roiling tide of things and lash out at those around us. You're so busy with this thing, and you look around and someone dropped the ball on that thing, and your wife, husband, kids, friends, coach, boss, coworker has completely forgotten about an entirely different and unrelated thing, and now all those things are just a big snarled up mass of spaghetti like the tangled computer cords under a desk. These times you may want to just scream in frustration. In life, though, you sometimes just need to take a deep breath and recognize that other people are likely juggling just as many balls as you are. They probably have their own frustrations with you having forgotten something that they were counting on you for. Kindness. We are asked to love kindness. To grant that little bit of grace to those around us and recognize we're all tangled up in that same snarled up mass of spaghetti together. To walk humbly with your God. As a scout leader and a soccer coach, I've told countless kids in my life, don't tell me how great you are, show me. Show me with what you do and how you treat others. Let me see how great you are with how you choose to live. Our actions speak so much louder than words. The scout motto is to do a good turn daily. A simple act of kindness for someone else, not for the recognition or to point out how fantastic you are, but simply to help another person because it's the right thing to do and to do it with a smile. Be humble in all that you do. God will see you for the amazing person you are without having to be told. Duty to others can appear as many things. It can be a huge undertaking, like spearheading a large fundraiser or toiling countless hours in a lab in the hopes of finding a cure for some disease that causes pains for millions. But it can also be the simplest of things, holding a door for someone, shoveling snow from your neighbor's walk because you happen to be out there anyway, sharing a smile with someone who just looks like they might need it today. In the verse from Ecclesiastes, God reminds us that whatever we do, do it with all your might. Put your whole heart into each activity, into each job, into all that you do. Go to bed each night with the satisfaction of looking back on the day and being able to honestly say to yourself, yeah, I gave him my all today. The verse goes on to warn us why this is so very important, because there's neither work, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, the place where you will eventually go. We're all only on this planet for a short time, and while we are here, we should make the most of it. In death, there is no more time to work, or to plan, or to learn. There's no time left to contribute to the improvement of the world we live in. Do not carry regret with you when you go to meet our Father. Do not stand before the Lord and have your heart filled with the simple of regret, I could have done more. Duty to self is outlined in the oath as keeping yourself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. Pretty simple, right? The part the oath doesn't talk about is why. You would think it would be self-evident, but sometimes we still fail to see it. If we do not care for ourselves, none of the other duties are really possible. The passage from Galatians starts off to explain to us that God cannot be fooled. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. It tells how we will be repaid for our journey in this world in kind. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. God supplies us with the why for our duty to self in the last two verses in the Galatians passage. We take care of ourselves so that we can fulfill both our duty to God and our duty to others. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Simply put, what goes around comes around. Life's not a sprint. It's not something we do quickly or for a short time. We need to live all of our days, giving our best to try to respect and carry out these duties as well as we possibly can. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all people. That good needs to start in each of you. With a strong body, you can persevere when things are hardest. It will carry and sustain you as you do these good works. With a strong mind, you can help to solve the problems that arise and make the world a better place. And through the teaching of your parents, your family, your mentors, and our Savior, you can strive to be morally straight. Making the choices God would have you make, as hard as they may be at times, while you walk through this life. Three charges the Scout Oath gives us. Three simple things. None of them are complicated, and if you truly believe in their worth, none are overly difficult. As you leave here today and start a new week, strive to do your best in these three duties. Take time to take care of yourself, body, mind, and spirit. Be that person who can look in the mirror as they brush their teeth before they go to bed each night and like the person that they see. Be someone who can take pride in a day well lived. Do what you can for others, whether a grand gesture or a simple smile sincerely given. When you do these things, do it with all that you are. Do it with your whole heart. And finally, do as the Lord has instructed us. Act justly and with integrity. Bless those around you with a measure of kindness and the grace of the Lord when they may struggle. Go forth and walk humbly with our Lord with a pure and loving servant's heart.
Thank you, Scott, for that excellent message, not just for our Scouts, but for all of us. Our closing hymn today is Pass It On. It's on page 477 in the hymnal. If there's anyone here this morning who is looking for a church home or has moved to give your heart to Christ, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing together. After worship today, everyone is invited downstairs to Fellowship Hall for a time of refreshment. There's coffee and a light snack for us to share and visit with one another. If you don't know the Scouts of Troop 13, I'd encourage you to greet them and get to know the Scout leaders who are here with us today. And now let's remain standing for the retiring of the colors.
Color guard, attention. Audience, attention. Color guard, forward march. Color guard, halt. Prepare to retrieve the colors. Retrieve the colors. Color guard, reform ranks. Color guard, forward march. Color guard, halt. Color guard at ease, audience at ease.
A line across the front, and former scouts and leaders to come along both sides, please. And I'd like to have Mr. Ryman, our scoutmaster, lead us in Scouter's Benediction.
And now, may the great scoutmaster of all great scouts be with us till we meet again, and may we follow the trail that leads to him. Scouts, be prepared.
We are prepared, sir. Thank you.
This concludes our service today. May you go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
So